this week and really next week more so, but celebrating our faithful God. Do you know God has been faithful? God has never been unfaithful. He has always been true. He's been good. And for 70 years, this church has been celebrating God being faithful. And it started, though, in a moment. Just a moment. What if you knew somewhere in front of you was a moment that would change your life forever? A moment. A moment with great potential. A moment filled with endless possibilities. What if you knew there was a moment coming, a divine moment, where God is going to meet you in such a way that you would never, ever be the same again? What if there was a moment, maybe it's a defining moment of your life, where the choices you make are going to determine the course of your future? If you knew that that moment was going to happen, how would you treat that moment? How would you prepare for that moment? Did you know moments are as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore? And any of those moments could prove to probably be the most significant moment of your life. At times, though, we have mundane moments. How many have ever had mundane moments? Anybody have them this week? Just a few. But below the surface of those mundane moments, there could be a miracle wrapped up in one of those moments. Moments are small enough to ignore them, but they're large enough that they could change your life forever. I believe as a church we have some incredible moments ahead of us. Each moment that we live is a moment for a decision to be made by us. There was a moment some 70 years ago that I talked about. This church was started in Detroit called Revival Tabernacle. It was started by Reverend E.T. Quattabush. Why? Because there was a moment that God dropped something in his heart and said, you need to plant a church in Detroit. And this church came from that moment. 70 years later, we are celebrating what God is doing. And through the years, this church has influenced thousands of people in this surrounding area. And this year, we are celebrating 70 years of ministry. Not because of one person, but because of God's faithfulness. I thank God for the countless numbers of people that have sacrificed their time, their resources, their talents to make this church what it is today. And I'm glad that even I have 8 years of history with this church. But at this point in the story of Northville Christian, I have a part of its future. And this morning, I want to share some thoughts with you that will maybe help us move us or catapult us into where God wants us to go. You see, all of us have had dreams. How many have ever had a dream? And we wonder about the future and what it holds for us and for our children. How do you get from where you are to where you want to be? Now, this morning, this message can be applied personally. But today I am speaking to us corporately as a church family. Heavenly Father, I pray that my words, Lord, will be clear. And Lord, they'll be encouraging. But Lord, they would be from heaven most of all. And God, that you would inspire us, Lord, to desire you more than we ever have before. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to talk about how to embrace our future. How many would like to embrace your future? Okay, there's a third point coming, and it's about participation. So let me help you get there early. How many would like to embrace the future? Yeah. This morning, I don't have my points on the screen, so I'll try to help you and repeat them. But my first point for today is this. Believe that God can do more than you can imagine. Say that with me. Believe that God can do more than you can imagine. Say it again. Believe that God can do more than you can imagine. In embracing our future, we must believe. You must have faith in God. You have to believe that God can do more than you can imagine. Jesus taught us this principle in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. There were some healings going on. And in this verse, he says, everything is possible for one who believes. Everything is possible for one who believes. Jesus understood the power of faith. I think it's interesting that many of the healings, Jesus said, go, your faith makes you whole. Let it be done according to your faith. Couldn't Jesus say, let it be done according to who I am? Let it be done according to I showed up and I did it? But Jesus says, according to your faith. You need to believe that God can do more than you can imagine. Jesus understood it. Faith is the key to unlocking the door of God activating his power in our lives. Faith is a power, and we need those in the moments of our lives. What is faith? Let me give you a simple definition. Faith is believing that God can do more than you can imagine. It's that simple, church. Ephesians 3:20 teaches us this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. His work within us is immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. All of us have been given a measure of faith. So now it is our responsibility to use it. The scriptures teach us that even a small amount of faith can produce miraculous events. If you have the faith of the grain of a seed of mustard seed, that small, you can move mountains. We need to operate in our faith. The question then comes, what are you doing with the faith you have been given? It's sad that too many people choose not to use their faith. They get lost and look at the problems of their past, and then they base the future on what has happened in the past. I know for some in this place that things have been tough. In this earthly life, it may have been hard. But church, you need to remember that we're not living for the earthly things. We're living for eternity. And we need to have faith. We need to believe that God can do more than you can imagine. Let me go to my second point for a moment. Number two, focus on the future. You cannot change the past, so change the future. Listen to Hebrews 12, verse 2. It's in the middle part of this verse, but it says this about Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, he did not focus on what he was going through. He was focused on the joy that was set before him. He was focused on what was going to happen. And we're told in the same passage in the previous statement that we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We are to look to him. We are to get our eyes fastened on him. We are to keep our eyes toward Jesus because he is our future. There's a lot of people, as I said, locked in the past moments of their lives. Some have experienced tragedy, a job loss, failed relationships, all kinds of setbacks. And unfortunately, many have let those moments write their future. Those moments of the past have stolen the opportunities that could have been before you. Church, if we could only get our eyes fastened on Jesus and get our focus on what God is doing in the future, we can celebrate. See, I celebrate what God has done in the past. It's incredible. But I'm looking forward to the things that God wants to do in his church today and tomorrow and next Sunday. To relive the past is to relinquish the future. Listen to what God tells Isaiah in Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Verse 18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. 19, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. God is moving in a special way and desiring to move in this day. Listen, I'm glad he parted the Red Sea in the Old Testament. I'm ecstatic that Christ was born. I'm humbled that Jesus would die on a cross for me. And I'm thrilled to know that God sent his Holy Spirit to live and to dwell in us. And he did that on the day of Pentecost. But church, I want to focus on what God wants to do and how he wants to move in my life today. Because of those things, because I was saved as an 8-year-old, that was marvelous, that was incredible. But today, I want him to move in my life now. I thank him for what he's done, but I praise him and I adore him and I cherish him for what he's going to do in my life and what he wants to do in this church in the days ahead. But a third thing is going to have to happen. We're going to have to participate in the things of God. Say that with me. Participate in the things of God. Church, we have got to get our lives in gear. You cannot follow God in neutral. You cannot just coast and say, well, here I am. We've got to participate. We have to take an initiative of what God wants to do in our lives. God created you. God created me. And he created us to do something. We need to dare to look forward. God has an adventure waiting for us, an opportunity for us to explore and to participate in the things of God. When you examine the lives of people who made a difference in this world, they are people who lived life not simply watching it, but they were doing something. The common characteristic of things getting done by people is they did something. They don't sit and watch. They don't just sit and think. They act. They participate. If we're going to seize the moment that God has for us, we are going to need to take the initiative to participate in what God wants to do. And church, we've already begun this. Our church body is planting a church in Garden City. We're sending one of our pastors and some of our congregants to relaunch a gospel work in Garden City. Amen. Amen. We are participating in what God desires to do in the people of Garden City and in our surrounding communities. Now, I know it's not always convenient to seize the moment. It's not always easy. But church, it's time to act. It's time to engage ourselves. It's time to participate. And whether you know it or not, the most important moments of our lives rarely come at opportune times. I know that sometimes we would like God to check our calendars first. But you need to know he did, because he knows everything. And he sees that our lives are filled with mundane things, and God wants to infuse us for the miraculous. And the only way for that to happen is for God to interrupt our schedules. The Bible is full of people who were interrupted by God. Let me tell you a few of the adventures and experience of some of those men and women. How about Abraham and Sarah? They were later on in life, in their years, and Sarah becomes pregnant at 90. How many 90-year-old women in here would love to be pregnant right now? Doesn't seem to be the natural desire. God interrupted and brought a whole nation about. Moses, he was living a humdrum life in the desert, and he was interrupted by a burning bush. Remember that story? And now he is called to lead a group of complainers. Yeah. but he also gets to know God personally. Mary, a little teenage girl, interrupted by God. God comes to her through an angel and says, "Hey, Mary, the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, and you're going to conceive the Messiah. And you're going to bear a son, and he's going to be the Savior of the world." Interrupted. Peter, a professional fisherman, interrupted by Jesus when he calls him now to become a disciple. Paul, who was also Saul. Jesus, he's on his way on a horse to Damascus, and Jesus interrupts his plans, and he saves him. And he calls him into ministry. The ministry of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, to write letters to the church so we could be encouraged. The question is, when God interrupts us, are we willing to respond at a moment's notice? Are we willing to participate in the things of God? Could it be that God is calling you to a new adventure? Church, we need to put our lives in gear and pursue and participate in what God wants to do. Do you remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? It was there that he followed through with the plan of God. It was in the garden where he battled and he struggled and he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." It was there that he embraced the Father's will and began the journey that led to the cross. The consequence was very severe. In fact, it cost him his very life. Church, in our journey with God, we shouldn't be surprised that there could be some suffering and even hardships along the way. In fact, if the cross teaches us anything today, it teaches us that God comes through when we die, especially when we die to ourselves. See, some of you have had dreams, and you seem like there's no future in them anymore. You may even think God has forgotten you. Well, you need to think again, because God is a God who turns crucifixions into resurrections. I believe God is saying today, we need to dream new dreams. We need to get ready to participate in the things of God. See, if he can do things that are beyond my imagination, and I'm ready to participate, I need to start dreaming about what care communities, what Sunday schools, what small groups, what ministries do we need to be doing? What prayer groups do we need to be having? How can I serve in our children, our youth, our seniors, our whatever it be? Where do we dream again? You know, I'll be honest with you, church. I think sometimes we're happy with status quo. We're happy I just show up here and the bills are paid and it's church. Church, I want to dream again. You know, I don't want to rehearse and redo the things that have been done. I just want to dream again because I believe God can do something new in this day. Fourthly, though, not only do we need to participate, but we need to be determined to finish the race. If you enter the race, be determined to finish. Listen, there will be difficulties, but don't give up. Jesus tells his disciples, in this world, where do you live, by the way? In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. See, Jesus has conquered, church. So even when it's hard, we can stay determined. You'll be tempted to give up the fight at times, but you must stay determined to finish what you've started. For he who began a good work in you will complete it. When you finish the race, you will receive a reward. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2, verse 7, he said, "I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Keeping the faith. Faith is being certain in who God is and following him even when we don't understand it all. If you're in the race, church, be determined to finish it. And lastly, number 5, remain flexible in God's plan. Say that with me. Remain flexible in God's plan. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break. It's not in the Bible. It's a good thought. But we have got to be flexible. We are clay in the hands of the Lord. He is the potter. I am the clay. Allow God to direct our footsteps and our plans. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, you're familiar with it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him or submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. We need to allow God to direct our footsteps, our direction. And at times we may go down a path that it may feel uncomfortable, but you can trust Him. And when we're in those times, in fact, trusting Him allows us to be more sensitive to His leading and allowing Him to finish what He started. I know that most people do not like change. Now, personally, I'm an agent of change. We're about to change the backdrop again. I gave you warning. But most people don't like change. But God knows that all of us needed a change. We needed to start with a change of heart, because our hearts tend us toward evil. But when God comes in and He saves us, He tends our hearts toward saving others and freeing them. Somehow we've got to move out of our own comfort zones and move into the plan that God has before us. We cannot think that God's plan, though, is going to be a rerun from some earlier time in our life. Just because God acted in one way in the past does not mean He will continue to act that same way in the future. Remember Moses and parting the Red Sea? You remember that? He lifted up his staff and the waters parted and the people crossed over. When Joshua became leader, the leaders were required, God said, I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant, the leaders, and you need to step into the water. And then the waters will part. God changed the parameters of their faith. With Moses, God said, watch the miracle. With Joshua, God said, be a part of the miracle. Here at Northville Christian, I don't want us just to watch for a miracle. I want us to be a part of the miracle that God wants to do with this body of believers. Church, number one, we have got to believe that God can do more than you can imagine. I wonder, though, if we quit dreaming, have we quit believing, have we limited God? I believe God can do the impossible. You say, my neighbor will never come to know the Lord. You don't know how they live. Let me tell you, God is the God of impossibilities. God is the God who can speak to a pole. He can speak to your neighbor. Church, where have we quit believing that God can do more than you can imagine? Our problem is we quit imagining. We need to imagine again, for our God is great. He is mighty. Secondly, we've got to focus on the future. I appreciate next week, I want to take a moment, and we're going to celebrate the beginnings of this church. I believe that is important, but I will not be relinquished to living in the past. Church, I am looking to the future. That is gone. I appreciate it, and I will honor it, but I am looking to next week and what God wants to do in the lives of people who are living today. That is what's important. There are souls that are living and they are dying, and many of them are going to hell. And what are we doing about it? We've got to look to their future. Thirdly, we have got to participate in the things of God. I love it when the Bible says that signs and wonders will follow the ministry of the word. Church, I am believing again. I want to participate in those things that God has. Let me just tell you, a few minutes ago, I got up and I don't know what happened. I lost my equilibrium when I was doing before the announcements and during them. My equilibrium went off. I think I pushed through it. And I went down to my wife and I just said, sweetheart, you need to know, because I didn't want to get up here and pass out and everybody freak out. She at least would know what's going on. My wife has to share it with somebody else. We prayed, and then somebody else came over and prayed with me. I feel fine right now. But church, I want to believe for those. We've got to pray that way. We've got to believe for those instant moments where God can move in our lives and the miracles and participate in praying again. Laying hands on the sick and they will recover. Praying all kinds of prayers, offering all kinds of petitions, having faith again, participating in what God's word tells us that we can do. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That's his word. And fourth, be determined. When you get in this race, be determined to finish it. Don't enter it halfway. If you're going to run, we're going to run all the way. We're in it for the long haul. I'm telling you, I look at some of our elderly people in here. Thank you for being in it for the long haul. Thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for being faithful. I appreciate you so much because you've been determined that we will stay the course. We will not be deterred by what society says. You've been faithful. I pray this next generation will be as faithful. And if the Lord keeps you here in this area, that you'll be faithful and you'll be sitting in these pews and you'll be rooting all those who are younger if the Lord tarries. But the Lord doesn't tarry. And our time is short. Are we determined amidst tribulation? Whatever may come, church, stay determined. And lastly, remain flexible. You have got to be flexible. I don't know what God is going to do. I'm just wanting him to move. I want him to go. I want him to do what he wants to do. Next week is our picnic Sunday. Could I start by asking you something? Could you invite somebody next week? Why not? What's it going to hurt? Come to church with me. Oh, you might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It might change their destiny. It might be their moment. But if you don't give them that moment, they may miss it. Church, I want us to get involved. I want us to do what God's called us to do. Well, next week, well, as I said, we'll celebrate the beginning of what God did here. But it's celebrating our God's faithfulness. For he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe God has some great moments for his church ahead. And church, I want to believe for that again. I want us to begin to move in the things that God has. And don't be afraid of it. You know, sometimes church can get a little kooky. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not afraid of it. You know what? We have enough of the Word of God that will guide us through any wildfires. But I'd rather some fire blow among us again. I'd rather something begin to move. And by faith, you say, well, I can't pray because I don't have enough faith to believe that God can do what he said he can do. But God said he can do it, so I'll just pray. How about being obedient? Church, I don't know exactly what it is, but I'm asking for God to do something great among his church again. He loves his church. He wants to use his church. He is not done with his church. The question is, will we believe? Will we look to the future? Will we participate? Will we be determined? And will we be flexible as God takes us there? Listen, I want to believe again like I've never believed. I appreciate for 8 years I've loved you. I've said this before. I came in. I tried to be gracious. I was me. I was not anybody else. You've been with me long enough. Many of you have come over the last few years. But church, I don't know that I just want to be me anymore. I want to be Christ in me. See, I appreciate what Christ has done, but I want Christ to move in a mighty way. And we need to believe again.